You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right to the phone callers. First up, let's talk to Damon, listening on the web in Signal Hill, California. Hi.
Hey, hi, Brother Hank. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
That's great. I got three questions. I called in about this before, and you answered it quite well, but now it seems like it's taking a different twist. My three questions are as concerning the Ten Commandments or the law. I know we're not under the ceremonial laws like the Jews are following, but when it comes to the strict Ten Commandments, from what I'm hearing from some good churches out there, they're still binding today. That's the question. Are they still binding today? That's the first question. The second question is, do we literally have to practice the Ten Commandments? And then the third question would be, if the Ten Commandments, and that's including the whole law, is fulfilled in Christ, then why are churches saying we need to practice the Ten Commandments literally along with walking in the love of Jesus Christ?
Well, the law is the schoolmaster that drives us ultimately to Jesus Christ. It's also a guide for believers in living out the Christian life.
Uh-huh.
And it also maintains order in society. So yes, on the one hand, it is true to say that the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and therefore we do not need a sacrificial system. We do not need dietary laws. But the moral aspects of the law, principles within the commandments, such as the Ten Commandments, are efficacious for us today. How tragic it would be if we did not recognize that in Jesus Christ we have our Sabbath rest, fourth commandment. Can we today commit adultery? Of course not. Can we steal? Can we covet? Are we to honor the Lord our God above all other things? So both aspects of the Decalogue, the first five as well as the last five, are efficacious for us today. Again, they're moral aspects of the law that have universal application. And though Christ has fulfilled the law, he didn't abolish it, but he said, I came to fulfill it, it does not mean that the moral aspects of the law no longer adhere. They do. And without them, we would not have calm, but we would have chaos, both as a culture and in our own personal lives. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Tim in Leavenworth, Kansas. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I appreciate your program. It's really encouraged me that somebody's willing to stand up for truth.
Thank you.
The question I got is kind of along the same lines of the last caller, but in the New Testament, Jesus used the law to convict sinners and to show them their need of Christ. And some have said we need to do that today, that we need to show sinners that they've sinned so that in order that they need... realize they need of Christ, and they realize that they'll stand guilty before God, and then you tell them about the love of God that Christ stepped in and paid your fine for you in full. But a lot of people today just say God has a wonderful plan. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Just come and receive Him, and that's it. And there's no conviction of sin. There's no repentance. No talking about judgment to come. And I'm afraid that what we're doing is we're not really bringing in the place of conviction by not presenting what Jesus did. What do you feel about this?
Well, I think you're right. I think that if you don't recognize how far in the toilet you are, you're never going to recognize how great a salvation you have received. And that's why I was saying earlier in my comments to the first caller that the law is a schoolmaster that drives us to Messiah, recognizing that we have no hope of attaining to the righteousness, a standard of complete perfection that God demands of us. And thus, we fall on the mercy of God, who gives a provision through Jesus Christ, who did what we could never do. So law drives us to grace. Once we recognize we're sinners, we're willing to repent of our sin. And you're right, we've sugarcoated it. We want to give a feel-good message perfectly suited for a feel-good generation, but it's a message that doesn't save. People need to know that they are in God's debt. And once they recognize the holiness of God, they fall on their knees and receive Jesus Christ. I know I did it, and it has transformed my life. And every day I am grateful for the great debt that has been paid on my behalf. Every day I recognize the sinfulness of my own heart and how I could never stand before God with any certainty dressed in the filthy robes of my own self-righteousness. And so I thank God for the spotless robes of the righteousness of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But absolutely, law is what ultimately drives us to Messiah. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to John. He's listening on the web in Blackwood, New Jersey. Hi, John.
Yes, hi. How you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, a little while back, I went to a conference for the Family Integrated Church Movement, and I seen a movie that they have called Divided, and just got a little, lot of information on the biblical premises of their movement. And, well, recently I've been studying through Deuteronomy, and I noticed in Deuteronomy 12:32, you know, the command is that we're not to add anything or take anything away, but to do as God says. Now, of course, I know that we're not under the law, you know, I mean, but I'm just wondering what you think the basis of a age-segregated church is, and if it's biblical, because it would seem, just going through Scripture, that we're not commanded to do it, and almost as though it comes from a evolutionary worldview to actually separate children from parents and church.
Yeah, I think this is a secondary issue that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over it. But I think there is a case to be made that we unnecessarily segregate our congregations such that we're not learning together, but we're learning apart. And certainly within the context of my own family, we have decided that we want to learn together. And so we experience church together, we learn together, we discuss what happened together, and we grow as a family together. And I learn a lot from what my kids glean, and they learn something from what I've gleaned as well. And together, I think that the total is synergistic as opposed to being deflective. So I think there is a case to be made for what you have said, but again, this is a secondary matter, and families certainly take different positions on it. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Christian listening in Stroud, Oklahoma. Hi, Christian.
Hello, Mr. Hinegraaff. My question is in regards to Luke 16.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I was listening, and I don't remember which teacher it was, but he was preaching on Luke 16 about the unrighteous steward. And it kind of caused some confusion in me because the way that he was presenting it, or at least the part of it that I got, sounded very similar to an Islamic principle of being willing to deceive others for the righteousness.
No, that's not what's going on here at all. And I'm just cutting to the chase here because I'm pretty close to a station break, but this is a parable, number one. Number two, the moral of the parable is use what you have to serve people, since everything you actually own belongs to God. And the shrewd steward was not commended for dishonesty, perish the thought, but for taking resolute action in a time of crisis. But again, as you read the Bible, one of the critical things to do is to recognize that you can't make parables walk on all fours. If you do, you're going to take the Bible and turn it into a wax nose. You can twist and turn it to make it mean anything you want it to mean. This is a parable, and you want to get the main point out of the parable. And the parable is not at all intended to suggest that dishonesty or shrewdness in the sense of dishonesty is something that the Bible would in any sense commend. In fact, if it did, then Christ would be contradicting Christ. And obviously, Christ does not do anything like that. He's speaking in the vernacular of the people so that he can communicate a moral principle that is timeless. We'll be right back in just a moment with more of your calls.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Want to go back to the phone lines? Talk to Todd listening in St. James, Missouri. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Hank. I got a question. Even though I know why, I figure it's impossible for this guy to do it, but if Satan was to completely ask for forgiveness and repent and do everything that he could do, do you think God would forgive him?
Well, first of all, it's a hypothetical, and we can throw it out the window because we know from the Scripture that that is not going to happen. We know that there's going to be a time that death and Hades are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. We also know that there's going to be a time in which Satan himself, the devil who deceived, was thrown into the lake of fire or the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the eternal perdition of Satan is clearly depicted in the Bible, and we have every reason to believe that Satan has been actualized in his choices, such that his hatred for God, even when he knew and had an experience with God that we cannot even attain to, he was in the presence of God as a ministering angel of God, and yet he chose to rebel and seek to usurp the prerogatives of God. So we know from the Bible what happened. We also know from the Bible what will ultimately happen. And so the hypothetical we can't really answer except to say that the hypothetical has no warrant because the Bible tells us the ultimate outcome, which is that Satan will be tormented forever and ever. He will be separated forever and ever and ever from the goodness and the grace and the glory of God, according to the infallible repository of redemptive revelation.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jamel, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Jamel.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good.
I just want to say, thanks for doing what you do. My husband's been listening to you for about 12 years, but I just recently got connected with your station. And I had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door this morning. She's actually been here a few times. And they're very polite people. And I want to, she wanted to come in and read me some lines of scripture, but I was wary of it because I don't have the correct words to refute her. So my question is, what is the fundamental difference between Jehovah's Witnesses and Christians?
Yeah, kind of interesting that the Jehovah's Witness came to your doorstep, and that's emblematic of the fact that Watchtower adherents are oftentimes willing to do more for a lie than Christians are willing to do for the truth. But this is an opportunity to be equipped and to do for the truth what they do for a lie. Here's what's going on with the Watchtower organization. They teach their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God, a three-headed God invented by Satan. And then they go on and say Jesus is merely a God. So what goes on in Watchtower theology is the idea that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael. And then during his earthly sojourn, Jesus was merely human. And after his crucifixion, Jesus is recreated an immaterial spirit creature. They deny the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ as well. And according to their founder, the body of Jesus Christ that hung, not on a cross, but a torture stake, either dissolved into gases or is preserved somewhere as a grand memorial of God's love. Now, on top of all of that, they teach their devotees that there are only 144,000 that make it to heaven. Everyone else, faithful or not, well, they live apart from Christ on earth. So in Watchtower lore, there's a little flock of 144,000 who get to go to heaven, and then a great crowd of others relegated to earth. And the difference is that the heavenly class are born again, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they partake of communion, but the earthly class, they don't do any of those things. And to substantiate the notion, they get flashes of prophetic light. And therein lies the significant difference. Ultimately, it's not about reading the Bible for all it's worth. It's about the significant flashes of prophetic light received by their prophet and the prophets that followed their prophet. So it's not just Russell, it's Rutherford. And so this is why they've been Armageddon International. I mean, they have been predicting end time cataclysms forever and ever and ever, which speak of the end of the world when all of this is going to happen. First it was 1914, and then it was 1918, and then it was 1925, and finally it was 1975. The Watchtower Organization is an organization that denies essential Christian doctrine. They make Christ not the creator of all things, but a junior partner in the creation of all other things after he himself is created. So for them, Christ is a created being. And I would stick with those main and plain things because they deviate when it comes to the very nature of God. And the mother question, according to Jesus Christ, is this: who do you say that I am? We say he's the one that spoke and the universe leapt into existence. The Watchtower Organization says, no, he was the Archangel Michael. He was a created being, and therefore, he does not have the same status as the Father. So their doctrine is completely antithetical to the historic Christian faith.
So do they read the same Bible? I mean, she said she wanted to read Scripture to me.
No, they pervert the Bible. What they'll do is they'll read the Bible in a different way. Because what they do is they insert into the text words. And the classic thing they'll do is they'll go to Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15, and they'll insert the word other four times into the text. So Jesus is not the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He is before all other things that God created, but he himself becomes a created being. But that's not what the text tells us. So they're going to add words where the text does not have those words. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. They say, no, we got to insert a word there. All other things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him. Oh, they have to add the word other. All other things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. Once again, they add the word other. He is before all other things. And in him, all things hold together. Well, they say, we can't believe that. So they add the word other once again. So four times within the span of just a few texts, they insert the word other to come up with the doctrine that Jesus Christ is a created being, the Archangel Michael, and during his earthly sojourn, a mere human being.
I see. Okay. I'm a newly, a newly minted Christian, recently saved, and so I'm still studying. I'm just looking for, you know, things that I should say to refute when they come to my door again.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing that I think will help you a lot, and I'll be happy to send it out to you. It's called Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. I think this would be very helpful to you because here's what you want to do. You want to become so familiar as a new believer, so familiar with the essentials of the historic Christian faith that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. So the real issue is become familiar with the truth, and this Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine will help you remember the essentials of the historic Christian faith so you can use them to be a witness to the Watchtower.
Okay.
So hang on, I'll get it right to you.
Thank you.
You got it. And thank you so much for everyone who tuned into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And again, thank you for those who have taken seriously the appeal to stand with us prayerfully and financially. We want to, by God's grace, be a beacon of light at a time in which it is so necessary to be salt and light in a lost and searching world. You can support the ministry on the web at equip.org. When you write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, by picking up the phone, talking to a resource consultant, 888-7000 CRI. Again, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.